Across the hottest desert, I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King.
Announcements. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 p.m. Class begins at 5:30 p.m. in person and Zoom. Tithes and offering. Tithes, offering, benevolent may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service and or as you exit the sanctuary after service. November announcement. November 30th will be baptism, if needed. The 2026 Announcing Clerk Ministry. The Announcing Clerk Ministry is preparing for its 2026 roster of participants. Announcements are read each Sunday morning at 10:10 a.m. Please contact Arlicia Duffy if you are interested in being a member of this ministry. Sister Duffy can be reached at aaduffy@yahoo.com. Please provide your name, email address, and phone number in your email. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships with our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. Pastor Anniversary. Today, we are celebrating the 8th annual Pastor's Annual Anniversary for Dr. U.D. Williams and family with Union during morning service. Our special guest speaker is Reverend John Horton, pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church in East St. Louis, Illinois. You are invited to stay after service today for dinner and fellowship. If anyone would like to give a personal card or gift, there is a table set up in the vestibule as you enter the building. Cards can be placed in the replica of the church. One representation of all of the cards and gifts will be completed at the end of today's service. Thank you. Pastor Anniversary Committee, Deacon Eugene Collier, Chairman, and the UMBC Ministry Leads. Thank you.
Welcome you this morning, where we have this blessed opportunity to celebrate our 8th pastoral anniversary of Dr. U.D. Williams. Isn't that a blessing? The scripture reads, we're going to give a little love, let me more in a minute. The scripture reads in 1 Thessalonians 5, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Praise God for our pastor, Dr. Williams, this morning. And at this time, we're going to ask you to stand and receive him, our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, and his lovely wife, Natalie, as we celebrate them on today. Let's give him a hand clap for praise. Y'all do better than that. Give them some love. Show that appreciation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Thank you. We thank God for our pastor today, and we're going to celebrate and show them all kind of love. So we ready for that. But I want you to stand with me as we do our scripture reading for this morning. I want to always be reminded of what we're admonished to do, and the pastor teaches us each and every week. From Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. We'll have it on the board in just a moment. Let us read together. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart,
with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.
And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Union, we need to continue each and every day to love God and love others. Amen. If you can bear with me for just another moment, we're going to do our Lord's Prayer this morning, which you'll find on the screen as well, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Let us read it together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, again, we got a celebration today, and all of you who have your program, we're going to move along the program as follows. And next up, we have a welcome this morning that will be coming by Mr. and Mrs. David Lewis. We're going to give them the mic at this time.
Oh, we are on. Good morning, Union family.
Good morning.
It is truly a joy and an honor and a blessing to stand before you today as we celebrate our pastor's 8th anniversary. Today, we honor not only the years of service, but the heart, the dedication, and spiritual leadership that Pastor UD has poured into this ministry. Over these 8 years, we have witnessed growth, transformation, and blessings that could only come through God's guidance and a leader who is committed to his voice and following God's voice. Pastor, your preaching has challenged us, your prayers have strengthened us, and your compassion has comforted us. And your example has inspired us. You have walked us through seasons of joy and seasons of hardship, always pointing us back to God's faithfulness. And for that, we say thank you.
We also want to take this time to honor our First Lady, your wonderful wife, Natalie, and your family. Thank you for sharing him with our church, for supporting him, and standing beside him as he carries out the work that God has called him to do. Your sacrifices and your love make a difference in all of our lives. To our guests, family, and friends who have joined us today, welcome. We are honored that you are here to celebrate with us. We pray that you feel the love of this church and the presence of God in this sanctuary. As we love God and love others, yes, we believe that the best is yet to come. So today, let us celebrate, let us give thanks, and let us show our pastor how much we appreciate his obedience, his sacrifice, and his unwavering commitment to God's work. On behalf of the entire Union family, welcome to this celebration of our pastor's 8th anniversary. let's rejoice and honor the gift God has given us in our leader. Thank you, and may God bless each of you.
time, don't it? When we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us from our earliest existence even to today. He brought us through some battles, ain't he? And it's a blessing that we know and we are sure that he's going to take us through a few more. Because he didn't say there wasn't going to be battles, but he said that he would be with us always. And that's why we can shout now. Let's give him a hand clap and pray. Amen. 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 Well, it's prayer time, saints. It's time to celebrate the God who hears us and knows our deepest sin. If you are able, I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we look to the Lord in prayer. And as I often ask, it's not so much about the words of my mouth, but it's about the God who hears all. But let's center our hearts on God now as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are so grateful for the opportunity to come before your presence today, to give thanks to you, O God, for the many blessings that we've seen even from our earliest existence even to now, Lord God. Father God, you brought us through danger, seen and unseen, Lord God. You kept your angels encamped round about us, Lord God, to protect us, Father God. You've been so good, Lord God, in those times when we didn't know where our help was going to come from, Lord God. We can remember that we can look unto you because all of our help comes from you, oh God. So we come before you today in the spirit of celebration, Lord God. We want to give you thanks for this faithful pastor that you sent to Union Missionary Baptist Church. We thank you for Dr. U.D. Williams and his precious family, Lord God, that you've allowed to come here and to teach us and to be with us and to lead us, Lord God, even through some very difficult times where we may yet still be standing to proclaim your goodness in this little corner of the world that we call Bloomington, Illinois. Father God, we pray that you would just continue to crown his head with wisdom, Lord God, fill his heart with love, Lord God, and keep giving him a desire to train and teach the lost, Lord God. We pray that you would be with his family, Lord God, that their household may be one that glorifies you, Lord God, and honors you, Lord God, that they may stand together in this calling that you placed upon them all, Father God. Father, we pray for every household that's represented in this place, Lord God. We pray that you would touch in a mighty way, Lord God. Help fathers to be fathers indeed, dear Lord. Bless them, dear Lord, and help them to have the strength and the courage they need to lead their families. And we thank you so much for the mothers represented in this place. Dear Father, we know that they have been the stronghold of our community, dear Lord, and we pray that you would just let them continue to carry on that heritage of being the support that we need, dear Lord, to keep our families together. So, Lord God, and bless the children. Father God, please bless the children, Lord God. The youth of this age are up against so many things, Father God. And we pray, Lord God, that we do not forsake our opportunity to let them know about a God who walks with them through it all, Lord God. Help them to know for themselves, Lord God, that God loves them, Father God, and that you will be with them, dear Lord, to bring them to that end that you call for them to be. Lord, we pray, dear Father, for our speaker, dear Lord, Pastor Hortno, this morning. We pray that you would be with him as well, Lord God. We thank you so much for bringing him this way, Lord. We thank you, dear Father, that you've given him a word, dear Father, from on high to share with us on today. We pray that you will prepare our hearts to hear this word, Lord God, that we might be strengthened thereby, dear Lord, and be the lights in this world that you called us to be, Lord God. Father God, I just want to lift a blessing for those who are sick, dear Father, perhaps even those that are shut in this morning, Lord God. Father God, we know that you are a comforter, so please be with them, dear Lord. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, touch them in a mighty way, dear Lord, that they may find the healing that they need in this time of sickness, Lord God. Oh, Lord, there are so many other blessings, dear Father, so many other things upon our hearts today that we could not possibly utter them all, Lord God, but you know all things, and we just pray that you will be with us, Lord God, that you will keep us, Lord God, that you will bless us, dear Father, as you know that we need. Lord God, we thank you, and we praise your holy name, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. May be seated. So, we're preparing for the introduction of our speaker. But I know the pastor wouldn't mind if I didn't just for a moment. Again, welcome all of you who are visiting with us. And he said he's going to have a talk with the with the committee, because everybody looks beautiful in their blue this morning. But I believe there's some royal purple and old gold off in here somewhere. So we want to recognize that this is a celebrate the 114-year anniversary of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. For your brothers who have joined us this morning, we welcome you and join us. Thank you for joining in this celebration. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about Pastor Horton. The Reverend John Eric Horton, senior pastor, originally from Gadsden, Alabama, currently resides in O'Fallon, Illinois. Reverend Horton and Minister Shawnice Horton, his wife of 33 years, are the proud parents of two daughters and four grandsons. In 1987, Reverend Horton received a football scholarship to the University of Alabama, but instead pursued his education at a historically black college or university. He graduated summa cum laude from Gadsden State with an associate degree in civil engineering and earned a Bachelor of Arts in Religious Studies, graduating magna cum laude from Hampton University. Praise God. He is currently pursuing a Master of Divinity at Hampton University. The late Reverend Donnell Horton has served as a senior pastor for over... He has served over senior pastor for 28 years, leading congregations in both Alabama and Illinois. His ministry has been consistently guided by divine grace. Reverend Horton is a proud member and current chaplain of the New Chi Chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity in East St. Louis. Church family, I would like to ask you to show some love to our speaker for the morning, Reverend Horton. Reverend Horton, we welcome you.
And we look forward to hearing your word.
God bless you. God bless you.
Morning, testing. Good morning, church family. Woo, pray for me. I'm still out of breath from the first song. Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Help me quiet. Like the dew,
like the dew in the morning,
gently rest,
gently rest upon my heart.
Oh, we say rest,
rest.
Say rest.
Rest,
we say rest,
rest.
Like the dew,
like the dew in the morning,
say rest,
rest.
We say rest. Like
like the dew in the morning. May he rest upon your heart. Like the dew in the morning. May he rest upon your heart. Say that one more time. Like the dew.
Like the dew in the morning.
May he rest.
May he rest upon
your heart. Like the dew.
Like the dew in the morning.
May he rest.
May he rest upon your heart.
Whoa.
You can do better than that. us all you got, then we'll take it. But if God has done anything for you, you ought to be able to show some sign. You ought to be able to, come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. Let God know that you love him. Let him know that you know he's an awesome God. Come on, come on. If he's done anything for you, if he's brought you from a mighty long way, woke you up this morning, started you on your right way, you ought to be able to show some sign. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm in the right place. I'm entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I'm back down here in Bloomington just to tell God thank you and tell God how awesome he is. I stopped by just to magnify God. Won't you magnify God with me? If you ain't too sedated, stand on your feet around this house and go ahead and tell God thank you. When I can see a brother that's 101 years old coming in God's house to magnify God, there ought to be no reason that anybody is sitting down in this house. You ought to lift up your heads, O ye gates, even be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Why? Because the King of glory is coming in this place. Is there anybody here that don't mind giving God a praise in this house? Why? Because he's opened doors for you. I brought you from a mighty long way, kept you through seen and unseen danger. Can I go ahead and tell somebody, if it were not for the Lord on my side, don't fool me, tell me, where would I be? I don't know about you, maybe God hadn't been as good to you as he's been to me, but can I tell somebody, I owe God a praise. God has blessed me and did stuff for me in my life that I'm yet to tell him thank you for. So when I think about the goodness of God, I owe God a praise through keeping me through seen and unseen danger. I owe God a praise. You ain't never been drunk and asked God to get you out of it. Yeah, I owe God some praises. Brought me from a mighty long way. I'm just trying to feel my way through and see if you know God the way I know God. My brothers and sisters, while you are still standing, to the angel of this house, Pastor Williams and his beautiful wife and family, come on, give God a hand clap of praise for them. Come on, come on, make some noise in this house. Amen. You can be seated. I tell you what, to the esteemed members of Union Baptist Church, and we thank God for you, to your dedicated leaders, honored dignitaries. What a privilege it is to stand before you this morning to help celebrate this 8th pastoral anniversary. Not only that, he is my frat brother. And just like David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, we've made a pact. Why? Because we realize that friendship is essential to the soul. We realize that there's a bloodline that we have agreed upon. We'll stop right there. I don't want to go any further with that, but he knows what I'm talking about. Amen. To my lovely wife of 33 years, Lady Horton, stand up. Amen. I thank God for her. Amen. Not only that, to thank God for one of the trustees, Sister Pat Anderson, who has traveled down to worship with us. Sister Pat, if you would stand, amen. Thank God as well for brother and minister Elaine Grimmett, one of the associate ministers of Macedonia. Will you stand? To all my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's just good to be in God's house. My first time here, beautiful. You all have a beautiful location here. I tell you, you should be proud of what God has done and is doing in Bloomington. Amen? I'm just peacock proud and hyena happy to be in your midst. that he's a loud old country boy from Gadsden, Alabama, by way of New York and New Jersey to be with you. Amen, somebody. Just good to be here. I sent out a mandate when I first got here to your pastor asking him, where's the soul food? Next time I come, I need some answers. Amen, somebody. You can't tell me with all these college students and all these folk around here that it's not any soul food. And if it's not, then I expect to be at one of you all's house the next time I come here. Amen, somebody. Because I know there's some cooking going on. God is an awesome God, I tell you. We are not going to hold you long. And listen, I know you hear a lot of ministers stand up and say that if you say amen and if you clap your hands that I'll be brief. You don't have to do that. You don't have to say not one amen. You don't have to clap not one hand. I'm still going to say what God told me to say and sit down. To the co-laborers of the gospel in this ministry, at this place that we call Union Baptist, God bless you. All your deacons and trustees, God bless you as well. My brothers and sisters, there is a theme that you all have that comes directly from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 37th through the 40th verse. If you will, I ask that you go there with me just for a moment. When you have it, just say amen. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the 37th verse. And it reads, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. For my brothers and sisters, for what is our time to share this morning, once again, I bring you greetings from Macedonia Baptist Church, East St. Louis, Illinois, where I am the pastor. Can we pull and extract from this piece of pericope and use this subject just for a little while? The complexity of and. The complexity of and. Here it is, my brothers and sisters. I grew up in a time back before Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or streaming. Here it is. The year was 1969, and our music came from what we call an 8-track player. Not only that, if you didn't have an 8-track, you had what we called a record player. You would put your record on the turntable and listen for it and let that needle down ever so slightly not to stretch that vinyl. And if it was scratched sometime, you would have to put a penny on top of it to get it to hold just right. But my brothers and sisters, we didn't have the streaming services that you have now, but we did have television. Television wasn't like the television that you have now, my brothers and sisters. We didn't have 269 channels, and still, it wasn't nothing to watch. Television wasn't like it was like you have now. We didn't have cable television. We had what we called an antenna. And when the weather changed, you had to change the antenna. If you were the youngest of the bunch in the household, you had to do what I call immediate repair. That meant that you had to stand beside the antenna, hold up one hand this way, turn the antenna with the other hand. And when you got a good signal, they would say these words to you, don't move. My brothers and sisters, might I suggest to you that every child in our neighborhood was eagerly waiting for one particular day. That day was Saturday. Because on Saturday, it was cartoon time. Somebody talk to me if you can. We watch cartoons like The Flintstones and Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? You remember The Jetsons and Dare We Leave Out Fat Albert and The Cosby Kids. You remember Bugs Bunny and The Roadrunner. I'll be taking a left turn at Albuquerque if you don't mind. But my brothers and sisters, might I tell you that Saturday mornings could also be educational. One of my favorite shows was called Schoolhouse Rock, a show that turned learning into catchy songs and clever animation from numbers and grammar to lessons on government and history and moral values. You remember Schoolhouse Rock? Some of you might remember. Let me take you back just for a minute. I'm just a bill. I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol. Some of you remember Schoolhouse Rock. But still today, my brothers and sisters, my favorite is and remains Conjunction Junction. Wash your function. Some of you act like you know what I'm talking about. What was it that Conjunction Junction? It was teaching us how and, but, and or could connect other words and ideas to make them rememberable. Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Listen to what he says. Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. The little lesson in grammar taught us something bigger than language. It taught us that connection matters. One word has the power to link ideas, to change meaning, and to bring harmony. And today, our nation, beloved, is struggling because leaders have forgotten the power of connection. Imagine if our lawmakers, our Democrats and our Republicans and our independents would embrace the and rather than the or. If they embrace working together for the greater good rather than dividing among party lines, my brothers and sisters, today our nation struggles. But if we begin to remember the leadership and what God is calling us to do, we would be a better place. Working together for the greater good of the brothers that are sitting in the pews. And yes, we have to embrace the paradox of the and, which suggests that we live in a complex reality. Here it is. We have stability and change. We have individual freedom and social responsibility. We have tradition and innovation. Here it is, and requires holding both truths at the same time rather than discarding one or the other. We could see cooperation instead of government shutdown, solutions instead of stalemates, progress instead of polarization. The end could become a bridge to better days. Food for thought, my beloved. I know some of you are Bible believers and theologians in your own right, but in the King James Version, the end appears over 28,000 times in your Bible. Come closer. Let me suggest this to you. Faith only appears 247. Now I got you. Oh, that is right there. Now you locked in. That's right. And appears over 28,000 times, but faith only appears 247 times. See, brothers and sisters, when the church embraces the and, we become a church of a tradition and innovation. We become a church of stability and change. We become a church of personal freedom and spiritual accountability. Yes, we can sing Amazing Grace and we can still stomp it out sometime. Yes, we can love God and still go to the movie. Yes, we can love God and I'm still, we ain't gonna talk about drinking a Budweiser. Some of you think you're going to hell if you have a beer in your hand, but I can love God and still enjoy my life. I gotta go on and tell you. All these years of preaching, over 30 plus years of preaching, I find myself listening to gospel songs every once in a while.
But when sitting on the dock of the bay comes on, watching time roll away, oh, you don't know anything about Harry Melvin and the Blue Notes. Oh, you don't understand that you understand that there's something about good music. What are you trying to tell me, Reb? You can love the Lord and enjoy R&B. Stop letting folk put you in a box where they're telling you it's got to be either or. Now you're getting it. See, the truth applies in the faith. Here it is, Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Jesus gives two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. This and is not optional. It's a sacred conjunction. Linking devotion to God with compassion for people. Faith without love for others fractures the gospel. And we can't love God without loving the pastor. Today, as we celebrate your pastor's anniversary, we honor a servant of God who has lived out the holy conjunction, that little word that we called and. Uniting the love of God with the love for neighbors, intertwining gospel with the truth that is believing to take us from a mighty long way. Here it is, the commandment to love God and to love others is like a symphony. Loving God with all our hearts, souls, and mind is the melody of faith, and loving our neighbor as ourselves is the harmony of compassion. And together we create music that reflects the heartbeat of Christ. We ought to come in with our mind stayed on God. Your pastor has been the conductor of the symphony, helping each of you play the part that God has called you to play. Together you have built a melody of worship, a melody of service, a melody of blessing, and you've blessed this congregation and you've blessed this community. My brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing? That's why he stands up in the middle of this pulpit, and sometimes you think he's gone crazy. I can hear him right now. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I got somebody right there to say, I'm a join in with you. That's why he stands up and he says, when you don't want to hear it anymore, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because he's trying to get you into what God is doing. See, pastoral leadership is the work of and. Feeding the flock and nurturing them with compassion. Your pastor has lived out the hand faithfully, teaching God's word and through joys and trials. He stood in the pulpit and stood beside you in the hospital. He's opened scriptures and opened his heart. He's preached the gospel and practiced what he preached. His ministry has embodied the and Christ calls for us to live out the and. And here it is. Notice what it says in our text. Love God. What does that involve, Pastor? This involves a total commitment of heart, soul, and mind. It signifies an all-encompassing devotion to place God at the center of our lives. It is a vertical in nature, lifting our gaze toward heaven. We got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that we as believers just can't always be vertical. We have to practice horizontal. That's what that and is there for. It brings us into a horizontal mode. It connects the vertical with the horizontal. And that conjunction signifies that it is inseparable. And says that God has sent you a pastor. You don't believe it. I know you've heard it, but you hadn't really read it. Listen to what Jeremiah said. He started off, watch this, Reb, the word that he used when he got ready to say, I'm going to send you a pastor. He said, and. Go back and read your Bibles. That's what the Bible said. He said, and I will send you a pastor according to my own heart. That's what he said. He was trying to get you to understand that I'm going to connect the right pastor with the right church. That's what he says, that you got to have a vertical relationship. You got to have a horizontal relationship. You got to learn how to love others. But here it is. The paradox of the text is this. How can we love God and then say we hate our neighbor, have a nasty attitude, to, we miss it when we don't come in and practice the and. I just stopped by to tell somebody here, this Texas table that teach us how we can love God and the complexity of and. The and we see in the Bible is a holy and. The and is a powerful and. The and is a connected and. The and is a command and. You can't get away from and. I know in many of our churches you want folk to live in the or, but God has called us to resonate in the and. I can be friends with you and him. Somebody missed that. You might not like her, but I don't have to choose. I can be friends with you and him. That's what God's called us to do. I don't always have to live in the or. God has called me to live in the. My brothers and sisters, if we were to understand the complexity of and while embracing the relationship between the pastor and the church, then we must understand that in our text, it is a conjunction of unity. That is, the use of and signifies that loving God and loving others are not separate missions. They are one holistic calling. Don't let folk fool you into thinking that you can come in and love your God and treat your pastor any kind of way. I don't care how you look at it or how you say it, and let me back up, shake it quick. I'm not talking about anybody in Union Baptist. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Because why? Ann says that we have to be a church, a body of believers that we come in and that we love everybody, not some folk, but everybody. Say it with me. Everybody. There it is right there. We have to learn how to love our enemy as ourselves. That's why the complexity of Ann and the church and the community. Remember what it said in the Gospel of Acts, and they broke bread from house to house. They did eat their meal with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor. Now watch this, just in case you missed it. The word of God said in Acts, and the Lord added to the church daily, such should be saved. See, if we just get right with and, God said, and I'll add to the church. If we just learn how to love our neighbor and do good. Don't let folk cause you to be the one that's always talking. You got to learn how to love your neighbor. That's what I come to tell somebody, that no matter what you do or what you say, you can't stop me from loving you. I'm gonna love you and I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna love you and pray for you and do good. Matter of fact, when I think back over my life and I see where God has brought me from, is there anybody up in here that can tell your neighbor that God loved me and he keeps on from giving me? I messed up in my life, but God keeps on keeping me. I've been wrong in my life, but because of the love that God shed on Calvary, every day I wake up with joy on the inside, and I'm going to tell him thank you for how. Here it is. And is a conjunction of unity. But secondly, and is a conjunction of faith. Right there in the text, the and bridges the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. It underscores that true faith is expressed through action. Our love for God is demonstrated by how we treat those around us. That is, beloved, I know sometimes we say we love God, but we don't act like it. We say for God I live and for God I die. But I tell them in Macedonia all the time, God will never have your pocket until he has your heart. Go on and meditate on that just for a minute. We coming back at it. Come closer just for a minute. Here it is, a conjunction of faith. The church as a collective body is called to live out the complexity of and. It involves creating an environment where worship and service are intertwined, encouraging our young and our old. Beloved, might I suggest to you that we were old, young at one time, and we didn't want to wait till we got old till somebody called us to be of service. But now too many of our churches, only time we allow our kids in the mix is on the fourth Sunday. Only time we want the kids doing something is when we can't do it. But my brothers and sisters, our kids deserve the and. It can be you and me. That's why the Bible said train up a child in the way that they should go. You shouldn't wait till you get old to bow out gracefully. You ought to want to train the next generation. You ought to want to see them coming in. You ought to be at the college telling them, for God you live and for God you die. You ought to be at the ball game when they play at Illinois State. When they holler touchdown, you ought to holler Jesus. When they holler defense, you ought to holler Jesus. You ought to tell them that you love God just like they love football. You got to know how to go into the end. The hedges, the highways and byways, the complexity of and is about ministry, beloved. Lastly, what is it? It's a conjunction of balance. My brothers and sisters, we must have balance in our daily life. God has not called you to be in the church. I'm going to say it. Somebody going to get mad. God has not called you to be in the church 24/7. God wants you to have a life. He wants you to have balance. He wants you to enjoy what he's given you. That's why the Garden of Eden was prepared, because he wanted them to be able to enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy your family. He wants you to enjoy your spouse. He wants you to enjoy your career. But don't you put that before God. Matthew 6 and 33 says that we ought to seek ye first. That if you put him first, notice what he said, you don't even have to ask for it. We live in a day where we listen to erroneous teaching where folk will tell you that you have to be specific for God. I see women, I love Facebook and TikTok, and I see them coming on saying you have to be specific in what you want out of a man. And I tell them, nowhere do we find Adam being specific. Adam didn't say anything about wanting Eve. All Adam knew is he went to sleep. Adam woke up, and when Adam woke up, he looked at her, and Adam said, well, she's a brick. Let me back up. Adam said, she's mighty, mighty. I'm trying to get you just for a minute. See, Adam didn't name it and tell God what he wanted. God knows what's best for us. Stop being so specific with God and say, God, give me what you got for me. That's all I need, God. Just give me what you got for me. God, if it's a relationship, give me what you got for me. If it's a job, God, give me what you got for me. If it's a spouse, God, give me what you got for me. That's all you got to say, God. Do like only you can. God wants us to have balance, my brothers and sisters, just like your pastor has to have balance in his life. He can't always answer the phone. I know you expect him to answer the phone every time he turns around. You expect him to come running every time he turns around. But that needs to be some time. He can have time to himself. Time of reflection, time of study, time of preparation, time of peace, time of relaxing, time to enjoy his wife, time to enjoy his family. One of the most disservices that I did to my family in 33 years of preaching and pastoring is putting the church always before them. You're going to miss it when I tell you. Understand, I'm trying to help somebody. God never called me to put the church before him. He said that he had to be first. Don't miss it. All I know how to teach is Bible. See, you got to understand, I'm trying to help some of you. Come closer. You better not love your pastor more than you love your spouse. Come closer. I'm trying to help you. Some of y'all are more dedicated to the church than you are to your family. You've made churches an idolatry. God said that I have nothing lifted up before me. It's not about Union Baptist. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about Union. It's not about the pastor. As a matter of fact, he watched this. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Here it is. I see some of you all are getting tired, so allow me to make a left turn at Albuquerque and head toward my close. My brothers and sisters, I know some of you saying, and you're sitting here, well, Reb, I've heard what you said. I heard you said that and the complexity of and, that is conjunction of unity, that is a conjunction of faith, that is a conjunction of balance. But Reb, how in the world are you going to tie and to the cross that we call Calvary? I just don't see it, Reb. Well, I'm here to help you. If you don't mind, I got the mic just for about 3 more minutes. If you will, can I paint a picture for you and show you that Anne showed up at the cross? That is, if you don't believe me, let me help you come just a little bit closer. Jesus was there and he was between 2 criminals. Now watch this. Gospel of John, the 19th chapter. And they crucified him. And 2 others were with him, one on one side and the other on the other. See, Anne showed up with Jesus and he showed up between 2 criminals. Anne showed up between family and friends. What you mean, Reb? That is Gospel of John. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. See, Anne will always connect family. Somebody saying, Reb, Anne is a mighty bad brother, ain't it? That's right. Anne showed up in the middle of a centurion's confection and transformed him right there. And the centurion saw what took place. He said, truly, that this was the Son of God. See, I just stopped by on my way to Calvary this morning. I feel my help coming on. It is at the cross where grace and mercy stand together. It is cross where life and death collide simultaneously. It is at the cross where time and eternity met on the same side of the tracks. It is at the cross where judgment and salvation holded hands on that day. It is at the cross where the carpenter and the king were lifted up toward the hills from which cometh all of our help. It is at the cross where the lamb gave his life and the lion rose back up again. It is at the cross where my Lord and my Savior hung from the 6th to the 9th hour. It is at the cross where he cried and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is at the cross where Aaron said, faith and action would bring truth and grace. And I'm glad for mercy that showed up at the cross. And I be lifted up. I'll draw all men unto myself. Is there anybody here that thank God for the end? Well, it's something that happened on that day. That is Jesus in the middle of 2 things. Decided to give up the ghost. Decided he'd go down to hell. Because at the cross, there was hell and heaven. Time stood still. Eternity couldn't move. But Jesus decided the Lamb would lay down his life. But he laid there all night Friday. And he laid there all day Saturday. But Ann said, we gotta get him up. And it was on Sunday, early Sunday morning, that Ann decided to raise him from a dead level to a living perpendicular. Ann decided to lift him as he climbed. Ann said, we can't leave nobody behind. So I stopped by to tell you that if you embrace the Ann, we can pray. Praise God together. Is there anybody?
It's because of Jesus and the cross. You can't have one without the other. It's because of Jesus and salvation. It's because of Jesus and forgiveness. It's because of Jesus and everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people who are nervous about death, wondering what's going to take place. Have loved ones who have gone on. But this Bible that we carry
says that if you accept him, the day that you accept him, you have eternal life. See, there's a misnomer in our Baptist churches. You thinking you have to die to receive eternal life. You have to die to sin. Acknowledge him as your personal Savior. And because of that, the Bible said that you'll be saved. But you don't have to be in the grave. You have eternal life right now. Might I suggest to you that I'm living my best life? And I'm saved. And I'm sanctified. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me share this with you, and I'm going to open the doors of the church. My wife, a few years ago, purchased me a Harley Davidson. So, if you see me riding, I don't have on a robe, I don't have on a suit. I have on my Omega shield, I have on my leather. I'm not listening to Mahalia Jackson. I'm not listening to Amazing Grace. I'm not listening to Near the Cross. I'm not listening to Down by the Riverside. I'm listening to a brother that some of you may not know or may not want to admit, call him DMX. So as I was riding, I got it pumped and I'm listening loud. Hear me good. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And one of my favorite songs is Y'all Gonna Make Me. I'm sitting at the red light and I'm on the bike having a good time, enjoying my life, my borrowed life that God has allowed me to live. I read lips very well. I look to the right of me, there's a little lady. She sees me and she says these words, "That's Pastor Hoyt." I nodded at her. I said, "I am Pastor Hoyt." And I turned it up just a little bit more. And I rode right on off and I enjoyed myself. Union, what am I trying to get you to see? You can love God and enjoy your life. You can wear a skirt down to the floor. Don't mean you no more holder than nobody else. You may never put another earring in your ear. That ain't getting you into heaven. You may act like you don't know any cuss words. I got a few you can borrow. None of that saves us. I'm trying to get you to understand what he does with the complexity of man. He said that you are saved by grace. And it's a gift of God. So God saves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. He said that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son who died on the cross for us. So don't you dare let Satan make you think that you got to fix some things up before you come to Christ. Man, before I announced my calling, the Sunday before I announced my calling, over 30 plus years ago, I was in a juke joint playing tump, gambling. The next Sunday, I was standing up talking about I've been called to preach. I didn't clean up nothing. God cleaned it up. See, we got a whole generation of folk out there at Illinois State. We got a whole generation of folk out in the neighborhood. They're not going to come in wearing three-piece suits. They're going to come in smelling like wacky weed. They're going to come in with the skirts a little too high. That's okay. Our job is to get them in. God's job is to clean it up. So what I begin to tell Macedonia is this. When Jesus was walking by the seashore of Galilee, he looked out past and he called some brothers. He said, "Hey, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men."
What they didn't understand that Macedonia is the Long Island iced tea that I talk about that every once in a while I partake of. All that is fishing bait. They didn't understand that the DMX that I listen to, all that is tackle in my box. They didn't understand that sometimes the gear that I wear when I go sit in the smoking lounge, because I'm trying to see if somebody going to ask me, am I Pastor Horton, where I can tell them about Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. But you got to understand that Jesus didn't always hang with the church folk. He hung with the thugs. You got to know what a thug looked like, and you got to be able to reach a thug where they at. You got to know that the end is important. Come on, stand to your feet. The doors of the church is open. As we celebrate this pastoral anniversary, it is a good day if you don't know Christ to be saved. It is a good day to come to Him. He said He's the author and finisher of your faith. He said that good work that He begun in you, that He'll complete it. So what I tell people is, watch this. Because the Bible was written before we got here, if you look at the Old Testament, Septuagint, if you look at the New Testament, it don't matter if it's the 29 or the 37. Paul said these words. He said that I am the chief sinner. I beg to differ with Paul, because Paul had no idea that there was a John Horton that was going to be coming. So I often tell Paul, you just held down the spot till I got there. You don't know what God has brought me from. You don't know what God has did in my life. And watch this. I know that I'm not the only one, because even though Paul said he was the chief, the Bible said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if there's somebody in this house today who don't know Him as your personal Savior, if there's somebody in this house today that said, Lord, I feel You talking to me. If there's somebody in this house today that has not believed on Him, then why don't you come and take the man of God's hand, but the master's heart, because He said, listen, the day that you hear My voice, harden not your heart. And if He's able to do exceedingly and abundant, come on, give God a praise for the end. Come on, give God a praise for the end. Come on, give God a praise for the end. Because God is able to do it. God is able to do it. God is able to do it. Come on, give God a praise in this house. Come on, give God a praise. Didn't I tell you God said He know how to go fishing? God said, I know how to go fishing. If you would just stop acting like you save and tell folk that I'm a sinner that need a loving God. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. Will there be another one this morning? Will there be another one this morning to say, Reb, you talking to me? Will there be another one that says, I hear you, Lord? Will there be another one that says, Lord, here I am?
Come on,
you may be seated.
To Christ, to Christ.
So all I know is Bible.
To Christ,
all I know is Bible. So the Bible says this, and they broke bread from house to house with simplicity of heart. Now wash the hand. And the Lord added to the church such that was being saved. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. I don't know who you are, but today I believe is your day. I wouldn't leave out without grabbing hold to Him. Today is your day.
To Christ.
Today is your day.
To Christ.
Yes, Lord.
To Christ.
So let me tell you, as I get ready to leave you and take my seat, I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. I'll tell that wherever I go.
To Christ.
So when you see me, you seeing how awesome God is. I make some mistakes. I mess up sometimes. I don't always get it right. But unto Him who is able, Now y'all got me happy. Unto him who is able to present me faultless. I mess up sometimes. I don't always get it right. But my Bible said a just man shall fall down 7 times. Now I feel my help coming on and arise back up. I don't always get it right. I mess up sometimes. But the God I serve keeps on blessing me. Every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Something about that brother from Galilee. I'm done. But I'm not ashamed of it. I'll tell you everywhere I go. If you meet me on the side of the road, I'll tell you he's good. If you meet me at the cigar lounge, I'll tell you he's good. If you meet me in the grocery store, I'll tell you he's good. If you meet me at the restaurant, I'll tell you he's good. And if you ask me, I'll tell you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is there anybody here know he's good? He's good. I'm done, Rev. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, my soul cries out. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. I know you don't know my story, and I don't know your story, but I know he's good. I know he's mighty good. Keeps on keeping us. Brought me from a mile long way. Brought me through seen and unseen danger. Somebody help me hold my peace just for a minute. If you don't mind, can I just get my holler out just for a minute? He's good. Yes, he is. All the time, he's good.
Jackson, if you could stand here with me, please. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for our brother. Amen. He did connect with us earlier this year. Amen. Amen. He came and life happens, and now he's back. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. So we don't need to go through that legalism. We don't need to go through rules. What we need to do is pray. So those who believe in the power of prayer, will you please stand with me so we can pray for Brother Jackson, his relationship, personal relationship with God, and that God will keep him. He shared, which is none of this. Amen. He shared some stuff in his life that he's going through and Satan is working with him and his commitment. But know that God is able. How many know God is able? So we want to pray with Brother Jackson here to continue to give him strength. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come right now because we know that you're all powerful. You're all knowing. You're a keeping God and a sustaining God. Octavius is here standing, but he's not standing here by himself. He's standing through your grace and through your mercy. Lord, he's also standing here with a body of believers who are here to support him the way that we can. Lord, Satan is busy attacking his mind, his security, even giving him fear. But God, we know that you are able to keep him and sustain him. We know that you are able to keep him from falling. Lord, hold him up in the midst of his journey. Why do we call on you? Because you made him. You created him. You know every hair on his head. You know every thought in his mind. You know every step he takes. And you are a forgiving God and loving God. So at this time, Lord, we just ask that you just bless, bless and keep Brother Octavius as he takes this journey, first, to build and nurture his personal relationship with you, and second, nurture that relationship through the church. Amen. Nurture that church. Nurture the relationship through the church. In Jesus' name, we pray for Octavius. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Time for our speaker this morning, Pastor Horton. The complexity of and I thank God for his grace and his mercy that caught up with a sinner man like me. Thank God. Thank you, Pastor. That word. Appreciate that word. Now we're going to have our remarks and presentation presented to us by Nick and Eugene Collier, followed by our remarks by Pastor Mrs. U.D. Williams, and a benediction.
Amen. Amen and amen. What a celebration. Amen. What a celebration. Reverend Horton, I want to thank you for that powerful message. Amen. What a message. Now, I got to go and find out about that Melvin and the Blue Note song. Amen. Now, everybody up in there heard that message, I know, right? So I can be a deacon and enjoy myself. Amen. Amen. We want to thank Reverend Horton, his lovely wife, and all those that came along with him on this morning. We'll thank all of our family and friends that came to be out with Pastor and us this morning. And I want to thank Union for coming out and showing out as they always do on this morning. I want to say a special thank you for the anniversary committee. You guys are just totally awesome. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for carrying me once again this year as we prepared and put on this 8th pastoral anniversary. Amen. So, Pastor, I know you and the wife are in here. We're Brother Lewis, David Lewis, and his wife get a lovely welcome. Amen. And what a wonderful job they did. They also helped me out because I was trying to figure out what I was going to say on today. So they gave my presentation. What a wonderful, eloquent, beautiful job they both did. So I'm not going to have to add too much to that. What they've already said has been said. I just want to say on behalf of Union, we thank you for 8 wonderful years. We love you, and we really appreciate you. Everything that you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Sister Natalie and the kids, we love and appreciate you guys as well. And we thank you for sharing, Pastor, with us for these 8 years. So, Pastor, on behalf of the your family and friends, the ministries of Union Missionary Baptist Church, and the Union Missionary Baptist Church, we just want to present this gift to you, just to show you our love for you and your family. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Point to yourself and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Somebody got a hallelujah. Somebody got a thank you, Jesus. Somebody got a he's all right. Amen. We come to praise him. Amen. 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 I want to invite my bride up here, my wife. to come up here and share some words. Y'all give a hand clap, please. Amen. For our sister Williams. Amen.
All right. Well, first off, thank you all for joining us and being with us today. I always say I'm never going to be long up here. But we thank you. We got a good word, good message to carry us through, and many blessings for another year ahead. So I thank you all for joining us. And it was a great, that year went by fast, but great year. And here we are again, ready to do more work and continue prayers along our journey. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you all for your patience. I want to invite each and every one of you after service. If you don't know where it is, we will be having a fellowship meal after service. Amen. Amen. And I know some look at me funny. We're not pressuring nobody, but please come on out and eat. And please, I need you to eat because they'll give it to me if it's left over. Amen. 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 If it's chocolate cake, I'm taking all of it. But other than that, I need you to help a preacher out. Amen. Amen. So you just go through them doors and you'll find some people. They'll point you in the right direction to go on downstairs. If you can make it downstairs, please go downstairs. Amen. I didn't get amens. If you can make it downstairs, amen. If you can make it downstairs, please go downstairs. Amen. 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 I want to thank each and every one of you for your love toward me and the love toward my family. And I thank God that he called me to be here. Amen. Amen. If it had not been for his sovereignty and his call on my life, I would not be blessed by who you are. And you are no other than Union Missionary Baptist Church of Bloomington, Illinois. Amen. Give yourselves a hand clap. Amen. Amen. My brother from another mother, he always takes his time out for me. I appreciate that. Reverend Thomas Howard. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend, from Indianapolis. My brother coming and checking me out. I think he came for the chicken. That's just between you and me. But amen, he came. And if there's any other guest and I don't see your face, you came on out. Tomorrow is Founders Day of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Amen. I'll clap. Amen. I'll clap. Amen. I'll clap. Some of our frat brothers came and left and all that. So we thank some of our frat brothers for coming and supporting that. And they pulled one on me, Rev. Amen. They pulled me down. Y'all got this blue on. But next year, amen, I'm going to meet with the committee. Amen. And we're going to make sure that we get it right. Rectified. Amen. 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 Ain't nothing wrong with a little purple and gold. Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a little purple and gold. Amen. I say it. I got some other amens, don't I, brothers? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a little purple and gold. Right, Reverend Coleman? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a little purple and gold. They pull one on us, but they won't get us next year. Amen. Amen. They gonna fool around, gonna wear my boots up in here now. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. We thank God for you, and we appreciate you. We thank God for the committee, Deacon Collier, all our ministry leads. Amen. 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 We're gonna ask if Pastor Horton, did he share a word with us on today? Amen. He's right. You can enjoy your life. Amen. But and you got to come talk to your pastor. Amen. Don't y'all go too far. Amen. Amen. Come on. And amen. Amen. Come here, Pastor Horton. And if you can bless the food after your remarks as well. Amen.
My wife and I had to put some money in his hand. I forgot to put my offering in.
She's already been acknowledged, but I love her. She always take care of me. Can you stand again? I know you already stand. Minister Horton, amen. His wife, amen. Beautiful bride. She just graduated. What was her? Troy University. Was it human? Human resources. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for her. Amen.
As we prepare to go down from this place, your pastor says something that happened to me. When I arrived in Macedonia, I have one of the mothers in the house, Mother Hannah, who is 97 years old, that told me she wouldn't believe I was a Q until I wore my boots one Sunday morning. Pastor, my boots are still in my office in the closet. I had to wear those boots. But at 97, I would have wore the boots, stomped, and did anything else she wanted me to do. Amen, because God has been good to her. Listen, I tell you what, this brother that's 101 years old, and man, I tell you what. Now, I'm going to say this to my younger people. When you have people of this magnitude that are this readily available to you, sit down and talk to them. There's so much wisdom that you can glean that you can't get from other places. I love talking to our saints of that age to share what they've been through. Take your time. God has blessed you. 101. Anytime you can, I ought to be coming by getting nuggets. Little nuggets of how God keeps on blessing him. Amen? Let us sing. Thank you for allowing a little old country boy like myself to come down to say my ABCs. We pray that God has blessed you, that you'll take something with it, and that you will continue to magnify God. Now, if you don't mind, we'll dismiss with a word of prayer. Every head bowed. Father God, we thank you for what our eyes have seen and how our heart has been stirred. Father God, we thank you for adding to the church and to the ministry. Now, Father God, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family and this great congregation. Add many more years to their life. Send many more soldiers into this house. Father God, help them go out into the hedges, the highways, and the byways. Father God, to bring them in. Father, we ask you to bless the food that has been prepared for us, that it go for the nourishment of our body, that, Father God, when we go down from this place, we'll never leave your grace. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and we all said amen. God bless you. Go in peace.